This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again. I'm in my third program having to do with kids. It's sort of a general communication series, I think. How do we talk to our kids so they will listen? And how do we listen so they will talk? I think that when we focus on all this communication stuff, it's easy for me to come up with wonderful examples of beautiful times that I've had with my kids and only put that on the radio. Let me give you some reality about this. Talking to kids and getting them to talk to you is very, very hard, and it's a long task. When my son Ben graduated from high school, we gave him a little trip with a bunch of other kids. This company that sponsored the trip plans graduation trips, and they impressed us in that they provided a lot of structure and security, and they were all the appropriate, we won't let them do this kind of thing. Now, while we were waiting for the boys to leave, about four of the boys in this case, they were with their parents at someone else's house because they had to drive a few hours north to catch a plane. One dad turned to his son and in my hearing said the following. It was just so perfect. He said, "Now I'm going to expect more than 5 minutes of discussion about what you do on this trip, so I want you to start thinking about that right now." My first thought was, boy, that was something I would say to my son. And I just had to laugh because boys don't talk typically. Getting your kids to talk and getting your kids to listen to you when you talk is a hard task. I've said that before. I try to grab every available moment. But at the same time, those available moments were often just a couple of minutes in the car. A commercial comes on the radio, you turn the radio volume down and ask a quick question. And I usually got, "Dad, I don't want to talk about this right now." I think 80% of the times that I went and tried to talk to my kids at my initiative, I was told it wasn't a good time. So it's not like I have this magical way of getting things out of kids. It's that all of us struggle with this. As our kids grow up, they turn into these self-contained organisms that sometimes act as if we don't exist anymore. The dinner table used to be, for many of us, the place where we could get that communication in. But in our home, with soccer and any number of other sports, and you name it, piano lessons, marching band, that evening hour has become so fractured and split up and messed up, it's a lot harder to have times of talking. I discovered a real sneaky way, if you will, to get my kids to talk and stay around the dinner table. And that is to make sure that regularly we have their friends over, particularly friends that we were still getting to know. Because most kids are taught to be polite, or at least somewhat polite, to other adults. And so we'll get this one kid in our house and we'll talk and I'll ask questions and they have to answer me because they have to be polite. The kids never discovered that I would do all that. That was one of the things they didn't find out about me. But it got in at least an extra 10 or 15 minutes at the dinner table talking about things. Our family, for one reason or other, seems to be extremely intense and to have lots of drama. But we also have a lot of fun laughing, and sometimes something very funny will happen, or someone will relate a funny thing or story, and before you know it, we're all laughing hysterically. It's really interesting because what we hear back is so-and-so will say to Sarah, "Well, my family never laughs at the table. That was kind of neat. Your parents are kind of cool in a weird sort of way." I'll accept that. I think that's really another thing that I tried to do throughout the ages, was to try and get my kids' friends to think that I was okay, or we were okay, because if I can get a little of that going, I've got a momentum going so that they can't just say, "Wow, you're so horrible," when half of their friends think we're okay. I think that got us through some rough spots. That also meant making mistakes, pushing the envelope a little too hard, and having to go back and say, "I'm sorry. Why do you have to embarrass us so much?" we would hear. "Well, we didn't think we were embarrassing you because you were laughing." "Well, I was either laughing or I was going to yell at you." "Okay, then we'll behave next time." I remember one time around Halloween when Sarah was in the magical junior high age, she brought about six girls over and they were going to do something or who knows what. And my wife was in a real crazy mood, passing out candy and eating some. And she came out in three different wigs in three different times and sort of pretended she was three different personalities. Just looking at Sarah's face, she knew she'd stepped over the line within 15 seconds. But the other girls thought it was great. And they'd laugh, and then they would want to try on the wigs, and they would get into stuff with my wife. It blew over, but it was heading for a real problem. The thing that made it different was the other girls enjoyed it. So who can complain? Sports is a great thing, particularly for guys, and increasingly for girls with the incredible influx of girls into sports. But I think it's a really good point to look for any commodities with each child. Some boys aren't into sports. They might be into music. And you get more into that kind of stuff. Some kids are into games or particular hobbies, and you do that. I think to the degree that you can connect on many different levels, the most levels you can, to that degree you're going to create a larger context in which communication will happen. I did a lot of the transportation with my kids because my wife taught school and wasn't free enough, and I was more free to get them to the doctor or whatever. And that just provided a big context for us to be able to talk. You need to look for as many opportunities for those kinds of things to happen, and you'll be able to talk to your kids, and they just might listen to you. Communication with your kids, especially adolescents, is a get-it-in-when-you-can kind of thing. Seize the moment. They may remember that you tried hard, and it may make a difference later on. In her 20s, Sarah talks to us about all kinds of things. I think we are reaping the results of all the hard work we put into her for the last 20-odd years. Ben will call up occasionally to chat from college. Not much, and not often, but he does. And for that, I am grateful. Now, I want you to try and find some time this week to spend time with your children and a couple of their friends. Maybe it'll be only for a few minutes. Maybe you'll get a big sigh and tremendous eye-rolling for your efforts. But remember, this isn't just for today. You're building for the future. Today's child is tomorrow's adult. Keep on plugging. I know you can do it. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.